And welcome everyone to Drive the Valley, presented by our friends with Chippewa Valley Mazda. Scott Montesano with you. Across the way, Bill Bertrand. This is going to be a brand new podcast series. So excited to bring it to everybody in the Chippewa Valley and beyond. A number of topics we're going to hit on over the course of the next several podcast episodes. So make sure you're checking back regularly. But in the very first one, we're going to get a chance to know who Bill is. People have seen Bill on television and on radio commercials over all these years. Many of you have hopefully purchased an automobile from Bill as well. Bill, how excited are you for this?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's like a whole new game. Making my debut in podcast land is something I've toyed with in my mind a million times. So I'm excited to kind of get this underway and figure out exactly what I'm doing.
Well, again, this first episode is sort of going to lay the foundation, the crust for the pizza that we will assemble on top of it. But again, a good opportunity for us to get to know who you are. Well, I think a lot of people think they know who you are because they've seen you an awful lot over the years. But let's start with this. How'd you get started in this?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, that's an interesting story. So I think by happenstance, nobody ever really steps out into the world as when you're in high school or junior high and goes, gosh, you know, I just really want to be in the car business. So much like that, in high school, I probably have this is a strange story. I worked in a funeral home in high school, got out of high school and thought, well, as a natural course, and this is many, many years ago, we didn't have horses and buggies, but we had very few of these colleges in the world. So I decided I was going to be a mortician, and I went off to college and made my way to California. And I got out there, and I always make the joke, I went through it, and I went through the whole living above a funeral home and doing my apprenticeship and got my degree in it. And I always say I got out of it because business was dead. So it ended up, I'm from Wyoming. I'm born and raised there. So, you know, making your way from Wyoming to California and then California back to Wyoming was an interesting adventure in itself. But moving back to Wyoming, there just wasn't jobs. There just wasn't a lot going on. I'm from a small town. There were, gosh, 20,000 people in my hometown. So I get back there. I'm resolute that I'm going to, you know, work in the industry. I can't find anything. And as luck would have it, I was selling furniture and I was bartending at night and then spending overnights in a youth treatment facility taking care of kids that were runaways. So I had three kind of jobs going on, and I applied for a job as a car salesperson because back in the cool days, they used to give you demos. So that was like a perk of working in our industry is they would give you a car to drive. And I thought, God, this is great. I mean, I'm working three jobs. I could go to one and they'd give me a car. And so I applied and I kept seeing this ad. They kept not calling me. So I went in and sat across from the guy who was running the interviews, and he's this old school guy. And he finally said, you know, I've saw your application, your resume a lot of times, and I have never given it a second look. And I'm this is against my better judgment, but I'm going to give you a chance. And the story unfolds from there. So I've been in the car business in some active role or active capacity since then.
And what brought you out to Western Wisconsin?
Yeah,
because some people will talk to, and they were born at one of the local hospitals and maybe went to college away, but they found their way back here. You're somebody, much like myself, you had no ties to the area and still found your way here and have been here many, many years.
Yeah, you know, I originally moved out. So again, I was living in Wyoming. I was a Wyoming gypsy, so I lived in all kinds of places out there. And I had moved to Jackson Hole because I was drinking a lot of beer and skiing a lot, and decided that I needed to get out of there. And I got my first Dell computer, and back in the days when you could like order the one in the box that would show up and you could get online. And I found a headhunter, and this headhunter said, "Oh, you're in the car business. We've got this great opportunity for you in Minneapolis." And so I thought, to myself, well, that's not really Florida or California or somewhere cool, but I'll go for a year. So that was in 2001. I'm still here. So I took a job and just kind of went with it. And this area kind of trapped me. So in a good way.
You're somebody that did kick around a few jobs and industries. So what is it about this industry that appealed to you so much and has kept you locked into it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think the one thing about this industry is, and it's probably true with all industries, right? But over the past, you know, from 2001 to 2020, it's just been a continual evolution. The way people buy cars has changed, the thought process behind buying a car, the complexities of buying a car, just all of that's changed. And what has always kept me in this industry is that change. It's always happening. And the flip side of that is the people. I had the opportunity to buy this store completely out from my partners within the past 6 months here, and was partners with them for a number of years. And in that, I kind of had a defining moment because I had a opportunity to join a really big online startup company that is only has a model that is what many are going to today, which is online car sales. And you know, the defining moment for me was that made me approach my partners and say, "Hey, I just want to do this for myself." Was the people, you know, not just really the Chippewa Valley. It's home. I love it. There's something that is magical about being here, and it truly is. I've traveled a lot and I've been a lot of places, but there's just something here. And it's also the people. Like I was in this in-between stage where I was really courting this job that I was going to go into corporate America and, you know, go out to work and do this. And I was in between that and coming to work every day in the middle of it and staring at those faces across from me. And they've just, I mean, it sounds incredibly cheesy, but they just, you know, have been part of their life for so long, and that's what drives me all the time is your people.
You touched on it a little bit, but literally, what are some of the ways that this whole thing has changed in the last 20 years? Obviously with the internet, people can do a lot more research ahead of time. We've all seen the ads again where you can order a car online and it shows up at your door. I'm not too sure if I'm too comfortable with that yet, but maybe my kids' generation, that'll become the norm at that point. But people can research online. Service has become much more important for dealers as well. It used to be you didn't really go to the dealer for the service, and now that's changed. That kind of has become the default. So that's the way somebody from the outside of the industry looks at it. How does somebody inside look at it?
You know, it was interesting. So I told you, you know, as we were talking a couple minutes ago, you know, I've been with Maury since I was with Maury's Automotive Group from 2001 until just recently. And in that period of time, I worked in a lot of stores. So I worked in Metro Market stores in Minneapolis. And then I was back and forth between here and there. I actually came back to the Chippewa Valley at a failed job attempt with Maury's, where I tried to take on a bigger store, and I was a young guy, and it sort of bruised me up and beat my ego up. But the point of that is that when I came back to the Chippewa Valley, you know, this store, it's what you can imagine. The transparency in this industry has changed so much that I came back to this store for good in 2009, and when I came back to the store, it was selling 50 used cars a month, 25 new cars a month, and it was all about what you could imagine. So this thing came about called the internet, and then came the thought process of how you do business. So, you know, I remember going to with my dad, and buying a car was a process, and it would start on a Saturday. And my dad would get me up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we would go to the dealership, and he would drive every car, that fit his lineup. And we just went from store to store to store, and we got numbers, and they wrote them on little, you know, pieces of paper, and you went back and forth. And there was this magical wizard guy in the back room who he told you what your car was worth. And he had these magic numbers that all of a sudden he could find a couple thousand dollars. And, you know, it was just a strange deal. And that industry evolved slower than you know, look back to Amazon or, you know, other things like that. You know, what really happened here in our industry over the past years has been transparency. So, you know, the customer realized, and even dealers realized that, you know, our showroom floor might be in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And we're in the Chippewa Valley is, a couple hundred thousand people in the area. But our audience is, you know, as big as we want it to be. So we really, I think that's been the biggest evolution in the industry is saying, look, we're going to transact less for less profit margin. It's no different than so many other industries. We're going to transact for less profit margin. We're going to do this in volume. And I think the win is that's came together for dealers who get it. But it also, you know, brings a base to the area we live in. It supports more jobs. It supports more tax base. It's just a revenue stream that's a different revenue stream. And I think dealers in our industry that have been successful have kind of figured that out. And dealers who are stuck in this old model of, and there are still some of that happens out there, and it's probably their model and it works for them, but you know, they really limit themselves, and it's a shaggy customer experience.
I think everybody's still, there's still the cartoon image of the used car sales guy and all of that. A lot of that's, remember the very first automobile that I got, it was still kind of the old school model of how you had to get it, but it's a lot different, nowadays. I want to pivot a moment, because one of the cool things when you're in the car industry, and if you're somebody that's running a dealership, the opportunity to be the face of the commercials, all right? Every town I've ever lived in, there's always the dealership people are the people that are on those commercials. Celebrities, if you will. So, of course, you're on a lot of those TV ads you guys have, a lot of the radio ads. What's the best part about that for you?
You know, it's certainly, I remember when I started doing it, and as a young person, I did a part-time gig with radio a million years ago, and so I was always comfortable doing that, but when this came about and, you know, so to speak, you know, they kind of said, hey, you got to step in front of the camera and you got to do this. You know, I think you spend your first 2 years of it literally thinking you're Kid Rock, you know. You're like, oh, my gosh, I'm a celebrity. People are seeing me everywhere. And then, I mean, you find out the wins and the losses, both sides of that, right? Because the Chippewa Valley being small, you have to act in accordance as well. So, you know, I think where it's worked really well for me is that, albeit, you know, I'm the face of the company, I've had the chance to get involved then in other places, charitable organizations, things like that. And, you know, by doing so, and maybe just some of that recognition by being seen, so to speak, you know, it's helped in those causes as well. So I think, you know, it's formed a lot of good partnerships. You know, it's always interesting because I think, like I said, you get into it and you start doing them and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm the face of this company, but yeah, I'm really just one representative of a lot of good people that work here.
Do you have any ads that really stand out to you in the last decade?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think if I was known for anything, it's that, you know, we're a little unique in our advertising approach, and we probably do things a little bit unconventionally. I mean, obviously, some of my favorite ones are the partnership ones. We've done a lot of rock fest, country fest ones, I remember thinking to myself here recently, especially with all the things that are happening from a political climate, but we had we did a commercial that was a spin-off of a Kung Fu commercial. And I'm like, wow. I just think back to 6 years ago, and I'm like, probably would not want to be advertising that in today's world. But, you know, I think people inherently know that we're a car dealer. So, you know, and yet messaging is really important. So I think my take on it has always been that I just want people to have awareness and brand awareness about our store and that we are different. Because if I get in to an ad and all I'm talking about is how you can lease a new Mazda for $199 a month, it's gonna fall on deaf ears at a certain point in time. And I think that message gets tiring.
Every market is a little bit different, but there's always similarities, whether you're on one coast to another or right in the middle. So when it comes to car buying, what kind of is the makeup here in the Chippewa Valley, and maybe some things here that we kind of go against the grain, and in others, hey, we're no different than if you were selling an automobile in Charlotte.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's again, you know, what the one thing that really helped build this store when you know, when we really kicked it in high gear was our willingness to be diverse, because just like any other community, and you did a good job touching on that, is that just like any other community, you know, we have people that have, you know, one person's Cadillac might cost $3,000 and the other person's Cadillac might cost $95,000. And I think we've been bold enough to represent every category in between. And that doesn't come sometimes without its own, with its own unique challenges. When you're selling the $3,000 version of that Cadillac, you know, there's inherently things that go wrong with it. So, you know, learning how to navigate that and take care of the customer as best as you can with an expectation for that car versus a $100,000 car. But in specific to the Valley, I mean, we're truck people, right? We're truck, we're SUV. You know, we like our four-wheel drives. This past summer, believe it or not, during the pandemic, because new car inventories were so low nationwide, you know, you had to get outside of your box because used cars were selling crazy. And I'm still sitting on some of those because we decided to experiment. And so we started buying some front-wheel drive SUVs. And the good news is that I still own them, and nobody else does. So, you know, it's the mindset, I think, of Midwestern and our area, you know, is people want a four-wheel drive. It's what they look for. And I mean, people are it's all over the map here. When I first moved to the Chippewa Valley, you know, I remember never seeing a BMW. I remember never seeing a Land Rover, Jaguar, you know, any of those cars. And coming out of a metro market that I had most recently came out of, I started playing with those and carrying those a little bit. And it's really strange now because that is a piece of our business that we do well with, and other dealers locally do well with them as well. So it's neat to see that kind of open up and not be just that one meat and potatoes type of deal.
Now, let's say, how important is it for you? It's always easy for anybody in any industry when they're first getting started to be malleable and see changes and all of that. But after a few years, everybody gets set in their ways. They see something that works and they go, it's been this way. And even though when we all start off, we always look back at the old timer, if you will, and go, well, don't just do it because it's the way you've always done it. But at one point, we all become that way. So how important is it for you and for the whole team here to occasionally take a step back and go, there's got to be a better way? Even though this is working, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting because it's easy for your mind to get complacent and say, okay, we've had great success and we're doing really well month after month, so why would we change anything? And I think what we have to consider in that spot, and what we've always done a good job of considering, is that's great, but if you're not changing, you're dying. So, you know, we're looking ahead and we're saying, okay, to your point, with your youngsters who, you know, might someday look and go, I'm at a dealership? Why would I go into a dealership? They'll bring the car to my house. Now, me, I personally couldn't imagine doing that. But at some point in time, you know, those things could be real truths. And we've seen a lift in that during the pandemic where more people were taking home deliveries, and you know, you had to expand your business model. I remember we used to call it the three C's in the car business, and that was see the cars, see the key, see the car, and see you later. And so those three C's, deliveries, were the kind of service that a person got when they came to a store. You left in a used car and that's what you got. You know, today that wouldn't fly. And so those people who didn't reinvent based off that probably aren't either very successful or they're just stubborn, old, and stuck in their ways and on their way out. But, you know, now, you know, it's common that, you know, you can return the car. You have a certain window and certain miles, and there's really no – it's had to become easier for the consumer and so much more transparent. Yet the benefit – we were all afraid to do it. When we went away from negotiating, and that was in 2009 for us, and we said, look, we're gonna price our cars one way in the marketplace, and that's competitively. And then if it's fair for everybody, if my mom wants to buy a car, or my sister, or the guy down the street wants to buy a car, it's all fair. And when we went away from that, I thought the world was ending. It was like the second coming of coronavirus. But it has certainly done us very well to adapt to that model. And I think that's, when you have a good team, they're always willing to do that. They're always willing to look at it and go, yeah, we're good, but let's stay humble and know that there's always something we could do to reinvent and do better.
Outside of the dealership, what are some of the other interests that you have?
Well, I like boating a lot, and I like cabin life a lot. So it coincidentally worked out well to end up in Wisconsin. So we have a place just a few minutes away from here that we have a fortunate enough to have finally in the past few years got my first cabin on the lake and get to enjoy that a little bit in the summertime. I'm a traveler. I love getting away. So no road trip is a bad trip, whether it's by land, sea, air, whatever. I love to see new places.
Well, what's a favorite place you've visited?
I was lucky enough to go to, and my pocketbooks didn't support this, but I won a trip with Mazda, and I got to go to Monaco and see the F1, the Formula F1 races. And so I got to sit on top of a building with the headgear on and watch literally that if you've ever watched it on TV, it laps around the town of Monaco. And so being right in the middle of that, one, it was beautiful. You're in the Mediterranean. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's like nothing you've ever seen. And two, just that experience was pretty amazing. I'd say that or even Hawaii. I had a trip there a couple years ago, too, and that's pretty beautiful.
A spot you still want to go see then?
Oh, wow.
Because everybody's always got, you got a bucket list spot, and then once you go see it, there's another bucket list spot.
Well, because I think Below Deck is pretty cool, and that's been my binge over the year. So I'm current on it now, and they keep rolling around Thailand. So I think, I always migrate when I can to a warm weather destination. You'll probably never hear me say that, gosh, I'd really like to go to Russia or the Swiss Alps. I'm going to pick that warm weather destination. I'd probably say Thailand right now. That'll change in like a week, though.
You touched on the outdoor opportunities here. Something else about the area, though, that's kept you here. Because no amount of job can keep somebody in an area. So what is it about the area that, again, kept you here? You came out from the West, you were in the cities, you came here, but you've stayed in this region over the last 20 years.
Yeah, I think, I grew up in a small town. So I grew up in a small town, and then I moved to Minneapolis and spent, like I said, time in California, time in Minneapolis. And then coming back here, what I love and I has really always kept me here is the Chippewa Valley has a sense of community that is just different. I have friendships here that are, none of my family is here. They live in, most of my family's Montana, Wyoming, out west. And, they kind of just grabbed me in and took me under a wing. And it's funny that those friendships became lifelong. And I'm sure that if you know a guy in Dayton, Ohio, he's probably telling the same story. But there's just something about the people here, but really, too, the sense of community. Like, I have never seen or been to a place that when there is something happening, people rally around each other just in a different way. And it's not made up or it's not forced. It's just a true sense of community. And I still, I feel safe here. I feel like, you could go for a walk almost anywhere you want here in this town at 1 or 2 in the morning and you'd still be safe. I just think those are all values that get overlooked altogether too often. And I get mad when the world's open and I decide I don't have enough restaurants to go to, so then I'm like, why, how come I don't live in the cities? Why am I not, on Hennepin Avenue, there's 97 restaurants. And right now, I wouldn't want to go to one of them. So, it's the luck of, I think I'm really fortunate to be here.
And Bill, before we wind down the first edition, I wanted to ask you this. So the time comes, somebody comes here and they purchased a vehicle from you guys, new, used, whatever, they purchase a vehicle, and they're happy, and obviously you guys are happy. As they drive away, how do you celebrate? How do you celebrate? They're very happy. The people have trusted you. They have purchased the vehicle. They're on their way. They couldn't be any happier. How are you celebrating?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, again, when I celebrate is when I see that customer come back again. So to me, anybody can, and that's not always easy to get your entire team's mind wrapped around that, because it's fantastic. Somebody comes in and they make a choice to do business with you, and when I see them come back and I see them service their car and I see that the face is familiar and people are remembering each other, and then they get that sense of family. And then they bring either themselves in for a repeat experience, or they bring other family members in. That's a sense of satisfaction. I mean, it is, I always say it's not about selling the first car, it's about selling the second car. And I think service in our industry, you know, primarily does that. That and online reputation, you know, it's hard these days. We're all fatigued about it. I'm so sick of it. I go to every department store and they're like, hey, could you do a survey for me? And it's on a receipt and it's everywhere. But those kudos and the way that represents your company, it's, you just glow, because you know you're going to get the bad one, right? That's just a given. But when you can open it up and you see a number of those come in overnight, I respond to each one of them individually, and I just, it's like opening letters.
Well, Bill, this will be a great podcast series, and there'll be lots of great topics that I know you're working on, and guests and all of that, and look forward to chatting with you in subsequent episodes.
Hey, vice versa. I appreciate it. I'm very excited to do it, so thanks again.
And that'll do it for the first edition of Drive the Valley, presented by Chippewa Valley Mazda.